I've got a couple of sons who are rule followers. The oldest one in particular irritates the heck out of me. So I was teaching him how to drive, and he was very much, and he still is this way. In fact, his fiance says it drives her crazy, because if it's 55 miles an hour, it is 55 miles an hour. It is not 54 and a half. It is not 62, which is kind of where I sit, but it is 55 miles an hour. If it's 30 miles an hour, you don't go 1 mile over. You are at 30 miles an hour no matter what. And I finally said to him, Jonathan, this is going to come back to bite you. Because there's going to be a situation where maybe you have to speed up to get around someone. Or maybe you have to go slower than what the speed limit is to accommodate someone else. You have to be using your head and make determinations of what is best for everyone's safety. Sometimes it means breaking the rule so that someone else can be safe. Well, he still doesn't quite get that concept. I mean, the man is 30 now, and he still drives 55. Of course, now he's got precious cargo, too, with my granddaughter in that car. But he is very rigid on those rules. And that can be a very good thing. For instance, when he would rewire something at our house, and yes, he did this sort of thing when he was quite young, he would rewire something at our house, and he would follow every single safety rule there was. Well, that's a really good thing. Because my husband didn't, and my husband got zapped a couple of times. But Jonathan would follow those rules. And in that case, that was a really, really good thing, because it saved him. It saved our electricity. We were all safe. It gave life rather than taking it away. So today we've got two stories. Two stories of Jesus breaking the rules. Now, I'm not one to say break the rules. I'm a rule follower myself. But I also know that sometimes rules are made to be broken. And this is where Jesus is coming from today. Because the rules that are broken today are not necessarily bad rules. They're simply rules that, when interpreted too strictly, do not contribute to building up. They only tear down. They do not contribute to giving life. They take life. So here's the first instance. Jesus sticks up for his disciples because they're eating grain on the Sabbath. Now, eating grain on the Sabbath, a lot of people eat grain on the Sabbath, but what they were doing that was not allowed was that they were plucking those heads, and they were rubbing them in between their fingers so they could get at the grains. Well, that is work, and that is something that is forbidden on the Sabbath. Now, I was watching a documentary on ultra-conservative Judaism, and the women were talking about how they get all of the food ready before sundown on Friday. And then they have on the table, they have warmers lined up. And they get the warmers turned on, and they get that food sitting there so that no one has to serve someone else. You just take what you want. You don't have to heat up food, because that would be work. It's already hot. It's ready to go. You don't clean it up until the following day after sundown. And they're very strict about that, because you are to rest, because God rested on the Sabbath. But Jesus' disciples were hungry. Imagine if you are living your life, going from place to place to place, never really sure where the next meal is going to come from. Sometimes you feast, sometimes it's famine. They were hungry. And the powers that be said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that because it's work. And Jesus says, hey, I got news for you. Those laws are not made to take life or to prevent life from happening. They are made to remind us to rest in God. That's what's important. These people are hungry. Even King David, he says, and Jesus would be a great attorney. I've said this over and over and over. Jesus will make a great attorney because he says, I've got precedent to tell you about. King David, when he was on the run from Saul, he actually went into the synagogue and said, hey, priest, I need some bread. And the priest says, I don't got any bread except the communion wafers. And David says, that'll do. And so they eat the bread that they are not supposed to eat because they were hungry. And so Jesus gives them that precedent. And he says, this has happened before because it had to happen. People were hungry. There was no bolt of lightning that came out of the sky and smote them. David went on to become a great king, an example for Israel. And so Jesus makes this statement, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What that means is that if that law about the Sabbath goes against something that would not be, if it goes for something that would not be good for other people, then it's not something you should follow. So he makes that point. Then the second instance, a man with a withered hand. He can't use his hand. So it's hard for him to make a living. It's hard for him to be part of the community. It's hard for him to be married. It's hard for him to do a lot of things that are life in that community. So Jesus doubles down. He knows what's coming. He knows the authorities are going to be after him to ask him questions about this. He doubles down and he brings the man into the middle of the synagogue. And he says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And he starts asking questions of them. Questions they can't answer. Is it right? Is it law? Is it both? Is it neither? Does it preserve life or take life? Does it build up or tear down? If I were to heal this man on the Sabbath, is it not lawful to do good rather than harm on the Sabbath? And so once again, he demonstrates his authority over this rule that came about because God said, I want you to spend some time resting. I want to spend some time where you're focused on me. I want to be with you. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a Sabbath. And then all these other rules came about to help people understand what that meant. The rules are not made to punish. We do punish people if they misuse the rules. But that's not why they're there. Rules are made to be broken, to be sure, but rules are made to guide our behavior as a community. If my son were to drive any way he wanted, he's going to put everyone else, including himself, at risk. And so that's why we have rules, to build up, to build community, to make sure that we're caring for other people and making sure that other people are safe as well. It's when we get too wrapped up in the letter of those laws, of all those rules, and we don't see when they bring harm to someone. That's when we get in trouble. That's what Jesus is driving at here. Now, my brother and I used to play Monopoly, and he hated losing money to me. He hated giving me money, but the rules said if certain things happened, he owed me money. And so he said, yeah, well, the rules might say that I owe you money, but they don't say anything about rubbing it under my armpit before I hand it to you. So that's what he still does that, by the way. He's in his late 60s and he does that. The rules are made to be broken sometimes. If we think about why the rule is in place, rules are not always just. They do not always give life or preserve life or keep people safe. Sometimes they tear down. It depends upon the situation. Just like I told Jonathan, when you're driving, sometimes you have to go faster than the speed limit. Sometimes you have to coast a little on icy roads through a stop sign, because if you don't, you're going to go all over the place. Sometimes you have to do things to preserve life. Sometimes you have to do things or say things you wouldn't normally do because you need to build up rather than tear down. And so I ask you to think. I ask our confirmation students to do this. I ask my sixth graders to do this. Think about everything you do. Does it build up or does it tear down? Does it seem just or unjust? Does it give life? Does it take life away? Does it keep people safe? Or does it simply punish? Mercy and compassion are what Jesus is about. This is how we should all be evaluating every instance in our lives. Jesus breaks the rules today, but he has a darn good reason for doing so, because he wants people to know that God is love, God is compassion, God is mercy. And as Mary so beautifully illustrated, that heart on the cross, that is our legacy, and that should be our foremost rule of love. Amen. Let's sing.